Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Mark in the second chapter, reading verses 21 through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and so are the skins. One puts new wine into fresh wineskins. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, the disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? They entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath has been made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" May God add his blessing to this reading, hearing, and understanding of his holy word. Amen. This is the last time, I promise. I'm busy, busy, dreadfully busy. You've no idea what I have to do. Busy, busy, shockingly busy. Much, much too busy for you. In the summer of 1988, between my junior and senior years of college, I worked in an aluminum extrusion mill. It was hot, dirty work. It was 10 to 15 degrees hotter inside than it was outside. And the temperature that summer got up into the 90s. I would come home, cover my arms and clothing covered in liquid graphite that we used to keep the aluminum billets that were going through the forge from sticking together. And I worked 12-hour shifts, 2 days on and 2 days off, which meant that there were weeks that I worked on Sunday. Oh my gosh. How is it that God didn't strike me dead for working on the Sabbath? One does not work on the Sabbath. Now, the word Sabbath means a time of rest. And for those that practice Judaism, sundown on Friday until sundown on Saturday is the Sabbath. And no work is done. And there are certain parts of Judaism where people don't use anything electric on the Sabbath. In the Old Testament times, there were actually rules that you needed to follow about what you could and you could not do on the Sabbath. One of those rules necessitated that people would carry stools with them, so that when they walked one step less than what was considered work, that they could sit down and they could rest and then they could continue on their journey. In Christianity, Sunday has traditionally been considered to be the Sabbath. It is a day that we go to church. Usually the afternoon is somewhat relaxing. I take a 2-hour nap every Sunday afternoon. But what about if you need to work on the Sabbath? I work on the Sabbath leading worship. Barbara works on the Sabbath playing the organ. Eddie works on the Sabbath. He opens the church, turns the heat on, and gets things ready for us to be able to worship. Last week, Jeff World was in Grayson County getting people their power back on. And Marcy, I assume that's what he's doing today. Jeff's working. Not only that, he's worked two Sabbaths in a row. What about first responders, the doctors, the nurses, and the other workers that take care of the sick and the infirm? Are we all going to hell because we do things on the Sabbath? Is God going to strike us down dead? There was a Western movie that I saw once on, I believe it was TNT, and it was a depiction of people that were on the cusp of heaven. They would have to spend time in a city called Refuge, which turned out to be purgatory. And they had to behave themselves if they wanted to get to heaven. And the way that they got to heaven was there was a stagecoach that would come in to take the people that had served their time. And towards the end of the movie, there were four people that had broken the rules to keep the town safe. But still, the stagecoach came. And they were in awe. And the stagecoach driver said, "God is strict, but he ain't blind. God sees and understands that there is work that needs to be done on the Sabbath." In our passage from Mark, the Pharisees take issue with the disciples plucking heads of grain and eating them. Now, in Deuteronomy 5:12, we find the fourth commandment. "Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you." I want you to notice that the verb in here is observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. And Jesus responds to what the Pharisees are saying in Mark 2:27-28. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for mankind and not mankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now, my take on what the fourth commandment and what Jesus says here is that the Sabbath is not a particular day of the week. There's nothing that says that the Sabbath has to be on Sunday. However, we're told to observe a Sabbath every week. The Sabbath, the day of rest, was made for man, not the other way around. It was made for us to purposely put aside all of our works, all of our worries, all of our fears, in order to take a break from them. It's a time to rest, to recharge our minds, our bodies, and spirits. Many full-time pastors, organists, choir directors, and whatnot usually have Mondays off because they work on Sunday. That is the day of rest for them. Now, over the past 5 Sundays and Ash Wednesday, we've contemplated the busyness of our lives and the effect it has on our lives, our relationship with those around us, and our relationship with God. Again, we talked about finding the right tempo, the importance of human interaction by preparing a table, tuning in to hear what God has to say and God wants us to do, living light so that our physical stuff doesn't get in our way. And last week, we talked about a time for every matter, that there is a time for every part of our lives. All of these lessons allow us to give it a rest, to give ourselves a time out from the chaos of this world. Believe you me, there's a lot of chaos going on in the world today. We need to give it a rest to make sure that we are able, mind, body, and soul, to do what God wants us to do. Basically, to keep us from going insane. Does anybody know how Albert Einstein defined insanity? What is it, Tim?
Same thing. Expecting.
Exactly. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So earlier in this passage that I read today, Jesus talks about the foolishness of putting a new patch on an old cloak. It doesn't work because that new patch is going to pull away. It's probably going to rip the cloak even more, and you end up with a bigger hole. And Jesus talks about putting new wine into old wineskins. It doesn't work because over time those wineskins have been weakened and they can't hold up against the weight and the pressure of being filled with new wine. It bursts the skins. The wine is lost. And so are the skins. One puts new wine into new wineskins. We have seen how we need to change our busy lives and focus on the important things in life. We can't do that if we continue to act in the same manner, in the same ways that we have become accustomed to. It's like pouring new wine into old wineskins. It bursts. And you lose what is important. Today is Palm Sunday. It is the first day of Holy Week in Christendom. This is the day that we celebrate Jesus' triumphant entry in Jerusalem. It marks the beginning of the end of Christ's time here on earth, a time where he showed us a different way of doing things. Famously, he was at odds with the priests and the Pharisees because he was saying all of these things that they have dictated really aren't the way to do things. It was a time when he told us basically to give it a rest to the things that are harming and diminishing God's purpose for God's children. Now, it's very easy to be enthusiastic about a sermon series when you are in the midst of it. But over time, the memory fades, as does the lessons learned. I hope that we will all continue to practice the things that we have learned during Lent 2023. I hope you all keep your prayer chairs and that you give yourself a time out every week. I pray that you continually think about what are my goals, what are the things that I believe in, and filter your life and your calendar thusly. I pray that we continue to do this so that we can keep putting the new wine in the new wineskins and continue to grow spiritually. Amen.